these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I'm your co-host, David Golden, joined today by my co-host, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What up?
Hey, man.
Yeah. So, depressing morning for both of us.
It's not
today's
the best.
opening weekend NFL. Jake's team, they tied.
We essentially, like, for the Browns, that's a fucking win.
Right? Yeah.
For the Steelers, like, fuck. Even though we went to their house, because, you know, Ben has he has 11 wins in Cleveland, right? And one, this is his draw. This would have been his 12th win. And the past, since 1999, the most wins a starting quarterback has had in Cleveland is 10. That's considering their own quarterback. It's 10 wins.
Oh, I see. So he has more wins than their starting quarterback.
He has more wins than any starting quarterback dating back to 99 for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, they tied today, so that's kind of like a loss for the Steelers and kind of like a win for the Browns. That's kind of funny. But
it's fucked up, man.
better than my team. We lost. So,
well, I mean,
you know, what are you going to do? That's the breaks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Only way up. The only way to go now is up. You know. So
yeah, there you go. Right. Yeah. Same. Well, and I guess actually no. I can go down. So I'm in the middle still. You know what? I kind of hope we don't have Le'Veon Bell back until week 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, James Conner did good. He did good today.
Yeah, and Le'Veon Bell's game check that he didn't cash this game is like $859,000 or something. Yeah, God damn, man.
$833,000. Yeah, and just put that in perspective. Kareem Hunt made $783,000 or $53,000 less for the whole season.
For the whole season.
And this motherfucker's crying about wanting more money.
Well, I mean, I get where he's coming from. Like, in terms of professional athletics, especially in the NFL and at the position running back, I get it. Like, you should get what you're worth. And he feels like he's more than a running back. I get it. I totally get it. I get where you're coming from. But let's be realistic, man. You're not a quarterback. You're not going to get quarterback money until there's no salary cap or there's, like, guaranteed contracts. Yeah. You're still just a guy in the NFL. And you know what? Isn't he 28 now?
27, yeah.
27, so he's got like 3 more years left. So take it while you can get it, bro. I mean, I get where he's coming from, but like...
And the Steelers offered him a 5-year, $70 million contract.
Yeah, like $15 million a season or something.
Yeah, and the reason why he turned it down is because the guarantee was only $10 million.
That's a pretty low guarantee.
But, I mean, you got it. He has wear and tear on him, man.
Yeah, man. That's...
You're up there. What are you going to do?
It's a rough battle.
Yeah, fuck him. Get out of here. Now back to MMA. What's going on, guys?
Hey. Getting away from some football, getting into some fighting stuff. UFC 228 was last night.
Nice.
That was pretty exciting. It was actually a really exciting card in total. Like, for people who thought it wasn't going to be good, it ended up being really good.
I think me and you were saying it was going to be a good card. It was just the fact that they don't have any like names drawing them in.
Initially, I felt like, oh man, this card's I initially looked at it and felt like, this card's kind of weak. Mm-hmm. But then the more I looked at it, I was like, this is a kind of a sleeper card. It was, and it turned out to be really good, man. There were some incredible finishes on that card.
Yeah,
we had two just gruesome, ridiculous knee bars. There were some good knockouts. I mean, it was a good card, man. It turned out to be a fun night of fights.
You know, I noticed usually whenever there's a card where there's not a lot of like star power on it, those are usually the better cards. And the reason why is when you have two stars fighting each other, usually they're going to go, well, I don't want to lose. He doesn't want to lose. Let's play it as safe as possible, right? Like it's...
Yeah.
So...
But on this card... I mean, in terms of the co-main event and the main event, you have four legitimate stars in their divisions. Mm-hmm. And boy, they all, both those fights, and I would say all four of the fighters, I mean, really were, you could tell they were all going for it. Like, so it was pretty exciting, man. It ended up being a good night of fights. The weird thing that happened on this card was, we talked about it last week, was that the co-main event was Nico Montaño versus Valentina Shevchenko.
Valentino.
And leading up to the weigh-ins, Nico suddenly had some issues making weight. The word was she struggled to make weight. It got to a point where the medical team deemed her unfit to cut weight and told her she needed to head to the hospital.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because we're talking about someone who made weight like four times in a row on a show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, over a really short window of time. Like, she never had trouble making weight before, but this is why for the Ultimate Fighter to do that tournament style where someone gets a title and the person who takes the belt has six professional fights, yeah. This is why that's dangerous. Like, to me, a pro fighter with six fights, like, let's say you didn't have, maybe you had like two amateur fights or something.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about you're having to make weight eight times ever in your life, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. I mean, I'm very, very reluctant to ever judge women when it comes to their weight cuts, like if they miss weight, if they don't. I'm very just, sure. I have to hear everything first. Because what I hear or what everyone always says is like it's harder for girls to make weight.
I've read that. Yeah.
And, you know, could have been that time of the month for her. I don't know. We don't know, right? Because I hear they retain more water, they bloat up, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, she's been out for a while. Right. Yeah. So I don't know how her diet was. I don't know what her injury even was, really. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much training she was able to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of factors. Some people are trying to say like, oh, she was scared and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to say for sure that someone is scared, right?
I don't want to be a part of everyone else's fucking little lynch mob that they're doing against her. Like, that's my thing. Like, I don't want to kick her while she's down.
I would never accuse a fighter of being scared to fight another fighter. I think that's kind of absurd. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're fighting and you're trying to be, you know, at the top of the game and you're trying to be a fighter for Bellator or the UFC or the PFL for that matter, like, you understand that there is a risk involved in fighting and you've already done it professionally and you've already fought a lot of people. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine a time where a fighter would get into a cage with someone and be like, this is the person that I'm super terrified of fighting. Like, to a point where you're going to fake having an issue cutting weight. Like, that seems so crazy to me. Like, wouldn't you just fake an injury leading up to a fight or like, Durandamy, who wouldn't fight Cyborg,
you
like, just don't sign to fight that person.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. Like, that's, it's, you know, and again, like it wasn't her call to stop the weight cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the actual UFC official. So there was something actually seriously wrong going on there. And, you know, again, everyone's like, well, she should be more professional and da da da. Hey, you know, you never know when your body's going to go, you know what? We can't do it this time. Whatever the reason is, what happened in her camp, who knows? I don't know, you know, how she normally cuts weight, what happened, but it sounded like her kidneys started to fail.
Yeah.
And how old is she? She looks...
I believe she's 29.
Okay. Well, she's getting up there. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's tough. It's tough to say. I feel for her. I mean, it sucks. And then on top of that, then you get stripped of your belt as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I saw a tweet by who's the one that's been trying to do like the UFC, Project Spear. Is it Leslie?
Yeah.
Leslie Smith. She was saying, like, see, this is kind of a reason why we need to unionize. If this was boxing, they can't strip you of your title because of that or something.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting point, right?
Yeah. I thought it was an excellent point. I saw the same tweet.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think she made some great points, and the idea that you can't fight this fight, so we're taking your title away.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home kind of deal, you know? And the UFC has unlimited control in that capacity.
Yep.
But people talk about it like it's just the UFC. It's the same thing in Bellator.
Yeah, yeah. Like, No.
It's the same thing across the board. Let's not pretend like it's just the UFC who's the bad guy here. Like,
for sure.
And I'm not saying Bellator is a bad guy or the PFL is a bad guy. I'm just saying, in general, across the board, that's how it works. And it sucks, for sure. I was going back and forth with a buddy of mine that I grew up with, and we were sending a text message back and forth about this. And he was really upset about it. It just bothered him so much because he's a big Valentina fan and he really wanted to see this fight, and he was really bothered by it. And he's, you know, and we were both kind of like in the heat of the moment, like, man, they should strip her of this title. This is kind of crazy. What is mm-hmm. she going to do if she can't make the weight? And yeah. now she's already not fought and she's never defended. Someone needs to defend this title for this division.
Yeah.
And then I saw that post from Leslie Smith. And then I saw some posts from quite a few other fighters. And I hadn't really thought about the fighter perspective on it, because I'm thinking about it as a, you know, just a spectator.
Yeah.
And it's one of those scenarios where your gut reaction is like, oh man, fuck her, you know?
Of course.
Like, and I feel like even fighters are like, oh, what the fuck, you know? Because yeah. there's a lot of fighters who would kill to be in her position.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
like I know a lot of fighters who have tried out for the Ultimate Fighter and have not made it, and they are like pretty butthurt about it.
Yeah.
To be totally honest, there are guys that are like, I should have been on that show. I'm better than those guys. I would have done this. I would have done that. And if you have the opportunity to be in a tournament where you're going to win a title or yeah. a title shot, like Tim Elliott or like Nico Montano did here in this fight,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, that's a huge opportunity. So I'm sure there were plenty of fighters who felt that way too, but
of
like,
course.
But seeing those other messages from like Leslie Smith and a few other people, Julie Kedzie and a few other people like that, I was like, wow, you know, that's really interesting. And Roxanne Modafari, someone who's fought Nico,
yeah, yeah.
you know, kind of showing support and saying like, this is kind of bullshit. You know, you should give her another chance.
I'm with that one too. I don't think they should have stripped her. I mean, I get it. It's been held up a long time. I get, but why aren't they trying to build a division? Why is it have to just wait? Nope, we need this chance. Like, they could have been making these fights, building this division up, do an interim, whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things they could have done, but you know, they're like, now we're waiting on this chick to, you know, come back healthy and blah blah blah, let's not promote her at all, by the way, and then come out and fight, you know, Shevchenko, and you know, she has, you know, the health issue or whatever. And I don't know, I think they should have gave her like another, you know, just say, all right, well, you didn't make it for this one. Let's bump this fight onto the McGregor card, or
yeah,
on, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Two cards from now or something. Let's
something,
reschedule.
Right? Like it's not just like, oh, well, you're fucked. Now you don't get to fight. Now you don't get paid for another year or however long yeah. you're going to shell for now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, here's the thing, right? The UFC doesn't make money on a division being built. They make money on people who sell pay-per-views and who sell fights, yeah, right?
Like, correct.
Conor McGregor's not going to do anything to try to make a division better. He doesn't care. Conor McGregor's never defended one of his titles, right? Like,
yeah,
he just
yeah.
goes out and does what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's obviously the unique situation. He's a unicorn in this world. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like you wouldn't think this would exist, but it does. But for all the other divisions, you know, the UFC was like, interim title crazy, and they give an interim title to Cody.
Yep,
right.
Colby.
Yeah, or yeah, Colby Covington. I'm sorry, and he, you know, he has this thing, and then he gets injured, and they're like, "Well, oh, you can't fight. Well, fuck you. Then we're gonna take that interim title away."
He wasn't even injured. Is the thing.
Yeah,
but still.
But
sorry,
you know what I
ahead.
Mean? Like,
yeah.
like that's the point. They don't care. They don't care about the title. They care about the numbers mm-hmm. coming in for each fight, where for the fighter does care about the title, because the title does mean more
money.
And the title does mean, you know, for some fighters that you're at the top of the game, and that's what they care about, you
yeah.
know, like some people genuinely care about being a champion and being, you know, being mm-hmm. the best and considered the best.
Yeah.
Where other people are like, you know, screw it. Like, I'm a prize fighter. I want to make the money, you know, like Michael Chandler, for example. You know, you thought he was going to come to the UFC, and I'm sure a lot of people thought that.
Yep.
And I didn't think that, because he's not the type of guy who gives a shit if he's considered the best fighter in the world. In his mind, he thinks he's the best, and he could get the best deal with Bellator, so he took it. Makes sense. But Michael Chandler is never going to be considered the best lightweight in the world ever, no matter what he does at this point, because he's never going to fight in the UFC. And
he can still fight in the UFC.
Potentially.
I guess his contract that he did with Bellator is really, it's small. It's like a two fight deal.
It doesn't matter. You know,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'm trying to make is like there are fighters out there who want to be the champion. There are fighters out there who want to make the money. Uh-huh. And I think there's both, obviously, but the UFC doesn't give a shit. The UFC wants to make their own money. And this fight, first of all, wasn't going to make them a ton of money. This fight was trying to set it up so they could make a bunch of money in Russia off Shlemenko. That's what they were trying to do. So they've already announced they're going to give her a title shot against someone.
But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, okay, we're going to give you a title shot against someone else.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, okay, so you're already rescheduling it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do what you just did for Woodley and Till?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have that backup. Like, I feel like that is a precedent now. Like, you need... I don't know if that was the right word. But you know what I'm saying. That's the standard. It should be the
precedent.
Standard now.
I see
precedent,
what you're
not president. This isn't... God damn it, precedent. Yeah, I feel like that is a thing now. If you're going to have title fights, just have someone off in the wings, you know? And
we were talking about that before this, for the Till and T-Wood fight.
Yep.
they had kind of handpicked Usman to mm-hmm. you know, make weight, and if Till didn't make weight, he'd be there prepared if Tyron wanted to defend against him. You know, can you really do that though for every title fight? Like,
yeah you can. 100% you can. Why wouldn't you be able to?
Well, the problem is the person who does make weight has to agree that they will fight either person.
You put it both in the contract.
But that's so hard. Now you're saying you have to basically train for two people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think everybody would sign it.
Or guess what? Make the fucking weight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
No, absolutely. Make the weight.
Because now it's for both of you, okay? It's not just the champ, because the champ also has to make the weight, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the champ misses weight. Boom, you're stripped. Now this is for the actual title. Boom, now you got these two. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a way you can plug that in. If this doesn't happen, blah, 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 X person will fill in. Yes, yeah. I get what you're saying with the whole training, because I'm in that same thing. Like, fuck, how do you get ready for two different people?
Yeah.
You don't. You say, fuck it.
You train for the one.
You've trained for the one, because it's just like if someone falls out a week early, like, what are you going to do? You're going to go, ooh, no, everyone always takes the, you know, the last
boom. Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know. I just think, I know the UFC has the money to do it. The fighters need to get paid regardless. So fuck it. Why not do that? That, you know, because Usman made money just for making weight. That's a fucking game changer.
Yeah, that's true. If they're gonna put in a deal that you make, you know, you make X number of dollars just for making the weight, that's pretty legit.
Yeah.
That's a cool little bonus for somebody.
I'm pretty sure, I bet you anything, Usman got a show money that he would have gotten if he fought.
I bet he didn't get a show money. I bet you they gave him like 10 grand or something stupid.
There's no way. I don't think he'd agree to it otherwise.
I don't know. I think he would have, because there's a potential that he was going to get his fight. Like, he was going to get the title shot. That's really what he wanted.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I mean, how are they going to work that contract out?
Well, I think that contract is based on, you know, just what his rate would be for, you know, if he were going to normally get that fight. And then if you don't get the fight, we'll give you 10 grand for... just for being there, making the weight. Like, wouldn't you cut weight for $10,000? Because I would.
Kind of, but I mean, it's also, he had a camp too. So you got to think, he's got to still pay everybody.
Yeah, yeah. But so. he knows that he's, my guess is it's not like a standard camp, right? Because there's no way he's expecting the other guy to miss weight. He's hoping the other guy misses weight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's an interesting little dance there for three people.
Yeah. Exactly. But you know what?
Let's just have one of these circus sideshows and just throw three guys in the cage.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Or do you know what? Or even a better idea is put more than one fucking 125 fight on the card, or one, or the, like, okay, so if there's going to be a championship fight, then you go, you know what? We also need to, for safety, or not for safety, but for
like a backup.
Yeah, we'll go, okay, let's go, who are the next two people in line, right? Let's have these two, or they're going to fight on the card. If, you know, whoever the higher ranked one is
gets the fight,
he'll get the jump in. That way there is no, oh, this person got to train for me, I didn't get to train for them.
That's a good idea.
Boom. Now
we got it. That's super smart. Not only does that give the best opportunity for who would technically be the next person in line,
mm-hmm.
that ensures that your fight card is better.
Exactly.
Because you just put more ranked fighters on your card. That's a great idea.
Fuck yeah.
Somebody from the UFC owes Jake some money if they start doing that, because that was super smart.
UFC, I am for hire outside. Like, I can work for the UFC, I think, and then fight for Bellator, right?
Can you?
I don't know.
Maybe.
That'd be kind of funny, though, right?
Maybe like some insider trading shit, though.
I think the UFC is doing like a an intern thing right now, too. Like, apply to be a UFC intern. Yeah,
Yeah, you saw that, but where that girl posted something, UFC intern girl posted something on Twitter, and they were like, you have to take that down. Yeah, we own the rights to your Twitter now.
Her name's Alex, I can't say her last name. It's like Scafidi or something.
Yeah.
She's really cool.
Yeah, she's cool, but the UFC is totally fucking... just taking it to her. That's bullshit. Just, you're going to own the rights to all her shit? Fuck you, UFC.
Yeah, the UFC is stupid. She's not... actually, she doesn't even work for the UFC. Yeah, or anything. She was intern. She was just a writer. No. She wasn't even an intern. The intern is the one that fucked up. The intern sent her the cease and desist or whatever. He's like, hey, we got to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, because she posted some picture of a girl who's not even signed to the UFC yet.
Yeah. Fuck you, UFC.
Exactly.
That's so stupid.
Another thing that pissed me off about the UFC, too... which I get why they did it, right? I understand it. It's a great marketing, right? With the whole McGregor and the bar and the throwing the bus thing, you know.
Yeah. Of course, they make that an ad, though.
But when your champion or one of your fighters is suffering from PTSD from that incident,
yeah,
have a little respect, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's people who are victims of that, who are suffering from, you know, a post-traumatic, you know, stress from that incident. I don't know. Maybe just go, maybe we shouldn't use this clip, huh?
Yeah, not to mention that very fighter, Rose Namajunas, her name is mentioned heavily throughout the broadcast because there's basically a contender fight on that card, mm-hmm. where someone, you know, someone potentially is going to face her. So she's either got to watch the card or just that individual fight, but you're going to guarantee that she's not going to see those clips and get upset.
Yeah.
She's a very delicate person. I mean, if you ever hear her interview on Joe Rogan Experience podcast, she's weird, man. And
she's very paranoid.
Yeah, she's super paranoid. And and now she has, you know, she's having these issues, and mm-hmm. and not just the mental issue, but like physically she was injured. Like, that's not cool, man.
Oh,
like,
was she? I don't know what she got hit by that, or
I believe she had some cuts from the glass.
Oh, really?
But I mean,
it wasn't bad. Well, obviously she fought, but
yeah, but you know, still. I mean, that's totally ridiculous. And but we called it before. I mean, we said they're going to use it as an ad. Of course they were.
I mean, you have to, right? I mean, it was a great fucking trailer for the fight. Like, I'm not even like, I think that is a good buildup. Like, it got me. I'm like, all right, let's see this fucking, like, I want to see this fight. Of course I do. But I do think it was a little distasteful.
Yeah, absolutely. It was distasteful. It was ridiculous. You know, I think that fight almost sells itself. You know, a little bit. Like, everyone wants to see it. I've already had...
McGregor's not doing any interviews.
Yeah.
Khabib really isn't doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're not really... neither of them are really selling it super hard.
But no, I mean, just on name value itself, it's still going to sell.
Yeah, and I mean, you can just take the clips of what Khabib has said about... what he said about McGregor, mm-hmm. and just, you know... Just clip those together with McGregor talking about himself. He's pretty fucking good at that.
Yeah.
And make it look awesome. And then, make it the eagle versus the leprechaun or whatever. And, you know, have a party. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
eagle versus the leprechaun,
you know, but, I mean, everybody's excited about him. I've already had a couple of people ask me, hey, are you watching that fight? You know, like, what are you going to do? You want to have, I'll come over, we'll hang out. Like, I've had people ask about it, and I don't get that a lot, you know,
yeah.
As someone who watches a lot of fights, like, most people don't really give a shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I'm right there with you. A lot. That's what it is. Like, Joe Schmo off the street, you know, that's, mm-hmm. they know a couple names. And if they find out you're involved in MMA at all, they're going to throw out those names. And of course, Conor and Khabib are the names they throw out. And so, yeah, I think that, like you're saying, I think the fight sells itself.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's going to be awesome, but,
I still won't buy it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
I refuse to just still buy. I almost didn't even watch the only reason why I watched the card last night is because I knew we were going to be talking about it today.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have a responsibility. I have to watch this card. And some asshole just happened to be, you know, streaming it online. I was like, you son of a bitch. So I jumped on, you know, and then the stream was going, and there's a little chat box, and I let him know, like, this is not okay. You're stealing money. You're stealing money from the UFC, you son of a bitch.
This is illegal.
As it's, you know, full screen projection onto my TV, but
you were trying, to hack it and figure out where it
was. I was trying to stop it. You know, I was trying to like flag down Dana White somehow. I even texted Chels like, "Hey, do you have Dana's number? I want to let him know that this asshole."
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a good Samaritan sometimes.
You know, it's like I always say, if I'm on the internet reading about fights and there happens to be a website that happens to be playing a fight, I mean, it's not my fault if I was on that website before that happened. I mean, you know.
I mean, you could take some actions like I did. Like at least I was trying to stop it, but
you know, I'm going to do that in the future. I'm going to you know, try to be like a stream stopper, and I'm gonna go out and search these down. That's what I'm gonna do.
We should start our own like DARE program, but for like, but for the stream.
Yeah, this is one of the cards actually that I wouldn't. When it comes to a card like this, I generally don't mind buying like a couple cards a year or something, you know.
Yeah.
And this is one of those ones that I wouldn't mind because I want to have like nice high def on my TV. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's gonna cost you like $80 to $90.
No, it's gonna be like $65.
You think so? You don't think they're gonna hike it up at all?
No.
I don't know. I feel like they might.
It doesn't have 65 is the rate. If it's over 65, they can eat a bag full of dicks. I'm not paying for that.
Yeah,
not paying over $65. When I started watching UFC pay-per-views, like buying them regularly, they were $20. Like,
yeah, I remember
they're $65 now,
when
man.
When I first started getting into the UFC game, it was $45.
I want to say after that first Ultimate Fighter, the first pay-per-view was $39.95.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. $40, like, and $40 is a reasonable amount of money. I mean, yeah,
definitely. But,
and back then there weren't pay-per-views constantly. So, I mean, shit, we bought every card.
So did we. Every single card. We'd buy it. Boom. We were sold. That was it. That was our thing.
Well, and that was like that's a reasonable amount of money to be like, hey, what do you want to do tonight? Hey, let's go. Catch a movie and eat some dinner.
Yeah,
$50,
mm-hmm.
Right? Makes sense. Not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, $65 if you go watch a 3D in IMAX and then go somewhere that's not cheap for dinner. So yeah, I guess that's okay. But to
get like a candy.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm poor, so I don't go out like that. You know, no, what are you gonna do?
And then you know you got to top like it's every other weekend. So yeah,
they've kind of mellowed out on the pay-per-view portion being like all the time. It used to, I mean, for a minute there, it was kind of buck wild. There were a lot of pay-per-views. It seems like they scaled back the pay cards a little bit.
Kind of, yeah.
I'd have to do some research.
I think they do about at least two a month.
Not always, though. They're like
no, this of course one, not. But I mean, if we're going off averages, I think it's about two a month.
Maybe. I mean, this one, the one last night, last night was the 8th, and then the next one is a month from now, almost exactly.
I feel like they slow it down towards the end of summer. Like, so they had they do the really big one, July. Then after that, after they do their 4th of July, like, big one, they always seem to kind of, like, slow down the shows a little bit.
Until the end of the year.
Exactly.
And then they pump you at that.
Yep.
December, New Year's time. They always try to get you good ones then. Well, That card will be exciting, but
of course.
But the card from last night had a couple of really interesting fights on it. The main event was really it was telling, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was pretty telling. And the co-main, same thing, really, really pretty telling.
I fucking told you guys Andrade was gonna come out there and just fucking mollywhopper.
Yeah, well, so the new co-main was Jessica Andrade versus Karolina Kowalkiewicz, and Jessica Andrade did her little mini Wanderlei Silva thing and went out there like buck wild and just put it on Karolina.
I like that people are calling her the axe murderer now.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think she should go with it.
I've been saying that for years, man. Yeah. She gets in there and does that.
She's fucking thing. Yeah. But man, that hook was perfect. I mean, it had everything going right for her to make that into a one-punch knockout.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people are trying to give her too much credit power-wise.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, still impressive for what? Was that 115?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking impressive.
Some power. Yeah, for sure. What I actually thought was impressive was after the first couple of shots that Karolina took, she came back and landed some pretty clean strikes.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like accurate striking, Karolina's she's striking was way better than
technically
than
she's
Andrade.
Way better. She just wasn't ready for the rush.
Yeah, and you can't get hit in the head that hard that many times in a row, like that quickly. No. Like, there's nothing you can do to prevent that from knocking you out eventually, right? Like or stop fighting.
She you can tell, like, I don't think she's used to really slipping punches, because that's why she got caught with that hook. Because when she was slipping or trying to, like, you know, get out of the way of it, she was kind of just flailing a little bit, and she was coming up and she wasn't looking, and that's where she got.
You know, if you go back and you watch a lot of her fights, she does this thing where she backs herself against the cage and she kind of stands straight up. She does it a lot. Like, yeah. It's
well, because she's good. Because what she'll do is she'll grab you in the clinch.
Yep.
And she did that to her, and she landed a couple solid knees.
Yep.
So she's really good there. So, I mean, I get that. But yeah, that's what she does. She backs right up to it.
But that's exactly what Jessica Andrade wants you to do.
Yeah.
And last week we mentioned that, and I was saying that I think she'll be able to get off of the cage. I don't think she'll let her push her against it. I thought she'd be able to get out of there, but apparently not.
That's crazy to think that Andrade fought at 135.
I don't think it's crazy.
At 115 now,
but wasn't that 135 per USADA?
Oh yeah, are you trying? Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm betting on a female fighter who's on steroids, who's not Claudia Gadelha, I'm betting on Jessica Andrade.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't see any pictures of her. I don't remember her really at 135.
Yoked.
Was she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so big. Big old traps, just looking massive. Yeah, dude.
You saw that.
Yeah, man. That's your game. Am I beating you at your game here?
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Man. That was pre-USADA probably.
Yeah, you get it. I didn't even think that. Okay, no, you're right. There was a women's division before USADA.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, she's powerful, man. I mean, but you know, like, I just, when I see someone with a build that just doesn't look natural to me, I, you know, like, it's like, okay,
yeah, that like, test, yeah,
you know, or if you come into the cage and you just have like major back knee, like, I don't know if she did. Okay. I'm just saying in general, if you walk in there, like, I think the only fighter who has that, like, back acne that, who like, doesn't seem to be on steroids, and if they are, CB Dalloway. Like, that dude's always got a pimply back. Clarence Byron Dalloway.
I know CB Dalloway. I just know he's a really pasty dude, so I just don't like him.
You know,
I hate his fucking face, dude.
His face is the worst. And I used to hate him. And then there was a stretch there where I just couldn't get enough of him. I just couldn't get enough of him, man.
Have you heard that story about him at the club once?
No.
Someone came up to him and was like, "Hey, you look a lot like what did she say? I think she said either you look like Matt Damon," and he like went with it. He's like, "Yeah, it's funny. He's actually, or the lady mistaken." No, she said, "You look a lot like CB Dalloway," when he played off as "I'm Matt Damon or something. It was vice versa. Either way, never mind. That's a shit story.
That wasn't a good story at all.
Dude, because I can't remember what the fuck it was, but it was something like that. But it was, someone else told me it was funnier when they said it.
Good job.
Ah, shit.
Whenever you say, "Have you heard that story about?" I always think, "Ooh, cool. Fighter inside knowledge stuff."
It wasn't that cool. But he's like, "Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's a lot of people say I look like CB Dalloway." And she goes, "Oh my God, you do." And it's like, oh.
Hilarious.
Ah, fuck it. Cut it out.
I'm leaving it in. That's your embarrassment for the day. I like, I don't know, man. CB Dalloway is, he's been in some fun fights. Like, you know, whatever. He's not great, but he's been in some fun fights. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I think he's got a fight coming up. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's going to get beat up by some new Russian guy.
He's getting up there, CB Dalloway. He's been around a while.
He's old.
But, yeah, Jessica Andrade, she put it on Carolina. It was, you know, it was a fun fight. It was quick, but many of these fights were quick. You know, one fight that we both thought was going to be quick that went to a decision
was the Rivera one, right?
Was Jimmy Rivera and John Dodson.
Yeah, I got that one wrong. I thought Dodson was gonna catch him, but
I thought so too. But man, Jimmy Rivera looked so fast.
You know, he did, and it was also, you know, it was more his timing.
Well, his timing, his head movement, like, he wasn't holding still for Dodson to get comfortable at all.
And Dodson, what the fuck was he doing? I was watching the fight, and the whole time, he just circled to Jimmy Rivera's power.
Yeah.
And he's the, which is funny because he's the southpaw, so he should be used to going against, you know, orthodox fighters. And yet he was allowing the orthodox fighter to beat him with his lead leg on the outside. And that's how he kept getting tagged.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Dotson's on his, it's on the downward spiral.
Well, he certainly was. I feel like he has to go back down and wait. Like Jimmy Rivera,
oh, he's going to,
so much bigger than him.
He's going, well, to, now that DJ's not the champ.
Now that Mighty Mouse isn't the champ, it makes for sense, sure, for him to go down. But man, that wasn't a good fight for Dotson. He looked tentative. He didn't seem to be fighting his game.
I wonder if there was if he was hurt or something going into it.
Maybe, I don't know, but that was interesting. We both kind of expected that to go a different way.
His forehead bothers me.
Right.
Okay. I'm glad someone else doesn't. He has the worst fucking hairline.
He needs to shave his head. He needs to keep his hair short. It looked ridiculous.
It's
how
so
it was.
Bad.
The photo they show before the fight starts. Yeah. He has an afro.
Yeah, it's worse.
First of all, like, who trimmed up your afro, bro?
Yeah.
Is there not a good barber for black dudes in all of New Mexico, or what is going on?
Fuck, right?
Like that was ridiculous. Like, it was all lopsided and shit. Like, did not look good.
He looked like a baby orangutan.
I just feel like if you have an afro, you have to have a good hairline, right?
Yeah,
you have to.
It's a must, or else it's gonna show how bad your fucking hairline is.
Have you ever seen the pictures online of Jamie Foxx's weird hairline and how it's changed over the years?
Sure haven't.
Dude, do yourself a favor and do some Jamie Foxx hairline Googling. So Jamie Foxx is at a hair transplant, and the funniest thing is when you get a hair transplant, they cut like a big section out of your hair out of the back of your head, right?
Yeah.
Like basically where the crease is in your head, and mm-hmm. it leaves like a scar that looks like a big smile. Jamie Foxx got a giant tattoo on the back of his head over that, and he tried to claim it was for some, you know, something for some reason. Nah, dude. Like, let's just be real. You got a hair transplant, but
That's
his
funny.
Hair looks so stupid. His migrating hairline is crazy. It's got like this weird boxy thing going on. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in there. Do yourself a favor. Do some Googling. That's crazy.
Shall do.
That's almost as good as Steve Harvey before he stopped wearing his toupee. So
yeah, so he
Steve
did have
Harvey
a toupee.
With it. Oh, dude, his toupee is like legendary. Like,
I didn't know if it was a toupee or not, because I remember as a child like looking at his fucking hair and be like, that looks really weird. Like,
yeah, it looks
it
like
just
a sponge.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a sponge, man. Yeah.
It was like perfect, like square, and
yeah, it was real boxed out. It yep. was good. But yep. yeah, so those are both fun. But John That's Dodson's funny. Hair. Oof, buddy.
Yeah, you gotta
I feel
that.
Like he lost twice.
He lost twice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And like, I feel bad. Like, who did his braids too? Like, Yo Invicta, can you hook up John Dodson with your the ladies who do your braids? Because his braids were not good.
I didn't think they were bad. I just think
they were bad.
I just think he's not a
plus. He's got that five head.
He just isn't a good looking dude.
No, but yeah, he needs to shave his head. He needs to move to 125, and he needs to not fight Jimmy Rivera. Apparently.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, I don't know. I thought, he would have tried to take advantage of Jimmy Rivera just coming off that knockout and knowing that, okay, maybe Rivera's brain's a little soft right now.
Uh-huh,
and let me blast you. But hey, Rivera, you know, hats off to him. But, it was surprising to me, which is funny, Diego Sanchez winning.
You know, I didn't even see the fight.
I didn't see the fight either.
It was on the fight pass portion.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to watch it. But
the reason why I bring it up is because I was going to say, I was like, you know, maybe Dotson didn't do so well because, you know, the whole Wink John, whatever, Jackson thing, and everyone's saying like it's kind of the training there's kind of lacking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe that's but then I was like, well, Diego Sanchez won, so I can't use that.
Dude, 30-27 on all cards.
And you know, all these like nerdy ass like MMA sports writers like, oh, you don't know your MMA history if you think Diego's gonna lose now after that kiss at the weigh-ins. Everyone knows that's, you know, the kiss of death and blah blah
yeah,
blah blah blah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it was like some weird fucking stat thing. Like, anytime this happens at a weigh-in, that person always loses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the curse of Eminem. There's like, you know, if you
walk out to Eminem. Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of walkout songs,
uh-huh.
Did you hear what Abdul Razak Al-Hassan came out to for his walkout? Okay, first of all, Okay, first of all,
I don't know why you're so excited.
Oh, because this is great. Okay, so I didn't know this, but Abdul is from Ghana, so he comes out with his flag, which is dope. Ghana's flag is dope. It's like African colors, and it has a black star in the middle. Like it's pretty fresh.
Okay.
Anyway, so this guy comes out to the Circle of Life.
Oh, Lion King?
From the Lion King.
Oh, snaps. That's kind of
so
cool.
So good.
That's pretty fun.
So good. That's the hardest. That's so tough. Cool. Comes out there. Not only does he come out to the Circle of Life, he goes out there, opens up the card. He's the curtain jerk. His fight on the card, it's him and Nico Price. And Nico Price is a wrestler, but for some reason wants to throw with this guy.
Mm.
Big mistake. And just lays this dude out with a three-punch combination that it was pretty brutal, man.
Okay, this is the fight. I got a text again today from someone who, again, was going, hey, you need to go up to 170 again. And I was like, what? Yeah, then their example was this Nico Price and whoever that, how do you say that guy's name?
Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is how they said it on the thing. Well, Hassan, but yeah. I'll say Al-Hassan. Seems better to me.
Mr. Abdul there. And he's saying because Abdul's not a big 170, I guess.
What?
Yeah, he's saying he's not that big, and he went up there and mollywopped Nico Price. And I was like, okay. I didn't see the fight, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, he's he looked pretty goddamn big to me.
I bet he is.
Yeah, man. He didn't look small. I mean, I guess maybe in theory he's not that big, but like. But, like, he's a terrifying build. Like, he's built like a brick shithouse.
I don't know why do
people think
off,
that?
I had a pretty good debut at 155, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why anyone wants me to go back to 170.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Nothing bad has happened yet. I just haven't fought because I'm injured. Like, yeah. It's nothing to do with weight.
I actually got the opposite text about you this week. Someone texted me, hey, I just watched your buddy Jake beat someone up on YouTube. He's really small for 170. Like, yes, he is really small for 170. Yeah. Good job.
Right? Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like,
I don't know, man. People are fucking, everyone's, you know.
Everyone's an expert.
Everyone's a goddamn coach.
Jake, you need to go to 145.
You know, I won't, like I said, dude, I have a feeling Fabiano's gonna have that talk with me one of these days, and I'm gonna fucking shoot that Brazilian down real quick. I'm gonna go, hey, fuck you.
That's not happening.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Nah.
Mm-mm.
Unless like I'd fucking go to Sono Bolo or something, have him suck out some ass cheek out of me.
Right.
Yeah. I don't. Fuck that, dude. I'm staying at 55.
Yeah, 55 seems good. That's crazy.
Unless they bring 65, then I'll do that.
Yeah, 60, 65, one of those. Yeah, that sounds
I'd
good.
I'll be small but, at 65, but I'm fine.
But man. Abdul had a pretty good fight, and
that's pretty tight though. Come out
to the circle of life. Yeah, dude, it was so good. I didn't even notice it at first, and I'm sitting there, and I look over at my wife. I was like, "Do you hear what his song is?"
Yeah,
that's so good.
Cool shit. Yeah,
cracked me up. I was into it. I was loving that. I was loving that so much. Kind of made my day.
We haven't talked about the Till Woodley fight.
We have not.
And what was your takeaway? Because I have, of course, mine.
Well, I mean, I thought that Darren Till looked really strong, like in the opening round of that fight. So in the opening round, Woodley comes out and kind of tries to overpower him and take him down, and you know, sort of bully him a little bit. Until even when Woodley had double underhooks, he couldn't get Till down, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty interesting. Like I was surprised. Like I thought, wow, you have double underhooks. You're up. You have him pressed against the cage. Like you've gone for an inside trip, an outside trip, and you can't get him down.
I think he tried inside. He just kept trying outside.
Was it just outside? I thought he tried once inside,
mm-mm.
But either way, like he couldn't get him down. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh shit. Like that says a lot about Till's strength.
I don't know. And, I don't know if because the way that he was like backing up to the cage was really smart. Like
yeah,
he,
it was
the way that
smart.
He used the
they
cage
mentioned
against
it in the broadcast
it. Yeah.
that's part of his takedown defense, and that's smart for
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And the way that he had the double over unders is what was really neutralizing. Mm-hmm. And Woodley, because he couldn't drop down to get that.
That's true. He couldn't drop down. I also thought it was interesting that Woodley didn't like go for like a classic, you know, like a shot in off of like a combination, you know, mm-hmm. just traditional double or something.
Yeah, he might, you know, he might have been worried about like the knees or something like that. Or
probable.
I mean, Tilt throws uppercuts, right?
Tilt throws, yeah, he throws uppercuts. He throws a lot of his punches come from a lot of interesting angles. Yeah,
so like that's probably why, I would think.
Even before he before Woodley in the second round hits him and puts him down.
Yeah,
the straight punch that he throws is weird. He throws it like this. Like,
oh yeah. Like, he doesn't turn it over.
He doesn't turn it over at all. He like he's holding a like a fucking joystick and just comes forward with it, and it's like, and it's not even like traditionally straight. It's kind of like straight and up. It was really weird. I don't know how someone throws a punch like that. But
I think it's like a karate thing.
Yeah, maybe, man. But he's like he's a Muay Thai guy, so I don't know. It was interesting. Yeah, okay. But I thought it was kind of telling. It said a lot about Till that he was strong enough to not get taken down early, but it also said a lot about Woodley in that he could impose his will so easily on Till. I think people thought that he wouldn't have as easy a time getting inside on him as he did. So like the first round was kind of like was a little bit slow. It didn't didn't really say anything about either guy. I think it was a really feeling out round, and for especially for Till, I think he was just trying to let Woodley, you know, work a little bit, get a little bit tired, and then he was going to open up in the second round. He said as much after the fight, but for Woodley, he was able to get inside on him, land with his power. I mean, the minute Till opened up and started, you know, tried to throw punches, Woodley landed, you know, landed on him hard and put him down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thought it was a really good performance for Woodley. His ground and pound looked incredible.
Yep.
Till obviously not as versed in the submission game as he needs to be. Like, he didn't see that Darce coming at all. And, you know, I actually didn't think he was going to get tapped out with it at first because he had his, you know, he still had his legs inside. I thought he was going to be able to kind of ride it out. But Woodley had his head pinned pretty hard against his chest, and it's all she wrote. But man, the ground and pound, I think, was what impressed me the most with Woodley. He looked like pretty savage from the top position.
Yeah. So what I noticed, or at least what I observed, was, if you watch, as soon as they touch hands, Woodley kind of backs up a couple steps or whatever, hops back, and then immediately comes charging with an overhand right, just like he did Jay Haran.
Yeah,
and that right there got Darren Till's attention. Like, I think that set the tone right there, and you kind of see Darren Till freeze up a little bit. Like, yeah, he says, you know, oh, I was waiting, you know, to let my hands go, blah blah blah. When has Darren Till ever waited to let his hands go? Never.
Yeah,
that's not who he is. He comes at you right. And I think he was a little gun shy, a little hesitant, a little bit, I want to say scared, but I think he realized, like, oh shit.
Yeah, he respected the power for sure.
And, you know, he came, you know, and then Woodley was trying to just push him against the cage. Like I said, the overhooks of Till was smart. That was keeping him from taking him down. But if I feel like Woodley, he didn't attempt any inside trips. DC was talking about it. And he did attempt one, like a single leg. He had the high crotch, wasn't able to finish it. But, you know, it annoyed me when he was doing his ground and pound. Like, yeah, it was good. He was hurting him, but he didn't try to pass his guards, get past his
legs. It wasn't until after he had landed several shots that he moved to the side.
Until then, and then he decided, okay, now I'm going to try and submit you.
I think he thought he was going to finish it. I think he thought those elbows were going to finish him, just even from the guard, because he was landing elbows.
But you can still, he was taking some of the pressure off of, if you look at the way that Till was trying to move his hips, you know what I mean? I mean, he was rocked. Before this fight, I was thinking too, I was like, you know what? I was like, a lot of people forget Woodley at the beginning of his career, he was known mainly for taking people down and submitting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch his first, you know, however many fights in Strikeforce, that's what he did. I think his like first five wins in Strikeforce were like submissions, four or five.
He had his very first Strikeforce fight, he got a Darce, and then he followed that up with an armbar and arm triangle.
Yeah, I think he's
So three in a row, but then he had some decisions and stuff, and actually hadn't had another submission since then.
Yeah. So
he started out his career with submissions, and then just kind of
stopped, and he found out, oh, I can hit too. Now I'm comfortable striking. And then he kind of, if you look at his fights, he kind of does get away from his wrestling. He doesn't use it as much as he should. And so I was, didn't surprise me at all when he submitted. I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of saw that. And I said that he was going to catch him with that right hand eventually, because the way Till holds his hands. And I can't remember if I decided that Woodley was going to win or if I took Till at the last minute.
I think we both took Till.
We might have. Yeah.
But
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, yeah, it's whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was interesting. I mean, I guess the UFC hype machine fucked us both. We kind of bought into it a little bit too much.
Yeah. Well, I think Till is good, man.
I think Till's legit, but if you look at it, like, who has he beat?
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of big names on his record. I'd like to see him fight some more people, but.
And I wonder if he'll go up in weight.
Oh, he 100% is going up in weight.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because
he's not feeling that weight cut at all.
I think that he might have something to do with his performance too. Like, again, he wasn't letting himself go because he.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll make a difference for him. Move up a little, move up a weight class and see what he wants to do, and see what fights are there for him. I think that's important. He needs to get a couple more like marquee wins. That's what he needs. He needs wins. Like, he needs to have, a couple of wins in a row against two top 10 guys, whether
who would you match him up with if he stays at 170?
That's kind of tough. I mean, I guess it depends on who Woodley's going to fight.
Well, obviously Colby.
Yeah. If he wants to fight him, that's what the UFC is saying, but they didn't have Colby over there trying to, last minute trying to make weight for this fight. They had,
Usman.
They had
well,
Usman,
it's,
so.
It's, well, I mean, obviously he couldn't because Colby turned down this date.
Yeah, he turned down this date. But, like, I don't know. I guess whoever Tyron doesn't fight out of those two.
So probably Usman.
Yeah, probably. But then again, give him someone who's maybe ranked a little bit lower. I mean, he's young. He needs to build his confidence a little bit. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be someone who's a killer. I mean, you just lost a title fight, Essentially, you're at the back of the line.
What about Usman? I think Usman Thompson is next. And then we have... Who else is up in that division? Because I heard Lawler's fighting someone. Oh, no. Aren't they going to make Lawler Thompson?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lawler Thompson is a fight that's coming up. That'll be a fun one.
No, it won't.
No? Why not?
Fuck, man, I hate Wonder Boy.
I don't like Wonder Boy, but I love Lawler.
I do too, but I just feel like that's a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, maybe. It's tough. I mean, it's not like a stacked division. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at this point, who's all there.
At this point, it's not. It's not like this this division that everyone's freaking out about. Let's see who's in the top 15 real quick.
Because we had Damian Maya. He already lost to Woodley.
Yeah, actually, Usman's like ranked sixth. So like the top five, yeah, the top five go Colby Covington, Darren Till, Rafael Dos Anjos. Ooh, that could be a fight. That could be a fight. Dos Anjos.
The fucking size difference.
Stephen Thompson, Robbie Lawler, Usman, Damian Maya. But see, then it starts getting silly. Damian Maya, Neil Magny, Jorge Masvidal.
Masvidal,
he's good.
Fun.
Ooh, you know what would be a good fight, Darren Till. Santiago Ponzinibbio.
Oh,
that would
be exciting
as shit.
Yeah, homeboy's down for a fucking. They're gonna make that fight. They're gonna make that one because homeboy is down to fucking sling leather.
Yeah,
and
man.
they want to be able to hype Darren Till back up.
Yeah, that would be exciting, right?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I would watch that. That'd be a good fight.
Or you cannot count out Mike Perry versus Cerrone, right? So if Perry goes out there and beats up Cerrone, because they have the backstory between Perry and fucking Darren Till, there was a whole ring incident, and then they had their little fucking sparring session, which is another thing too about Mike Perry. Real quick, he's so annoying. I just did 7 rounds with John Jones. We just sparred 7 rounds. I just sparred with Darren Till. I just sparred with Cerrone. Who gives a fuck who you sparred, dude?
Yeah, you know who else sparred with John Jones? Fucking Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, right, yeah. Holly Holm.
Or not Ronda Rousey. Yeah, Holly Holm, rather. And Ronda Rousey sparred with fucking...
Gegard?
yeah, Gegard Mousasi.
Yeah, like who?
Like, it doesn't make either of them like they're gonna beat someone. Like, come on, man.
So
like,
fucking stupid. Every time I spar someone with a name, I'm gonna say, oh, I sparred this guy. Okay, you're what the fuck? I spar with Chell every fucking weekend. It's not the same as if me and Chell were to go out and fucking fight each other.
Yeah,
it's not the same. Like, I know there's stuff that he's not doing against me because I'm smaller or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking hate Mike Perry. He annoys me, but then at times I do like him.
You know, the thing about Mike Perry is he's not going to get a fight against Darren Till because Mike Perry's not even fucking ranked. So
he might after he beats Cerrone.
If he beats Cerrone. See what happens, man.
Fuck.
You never know what's going to happen in a Mike Perry fight, man. Like,
When is that fight? That's in November?
I don't know. I don't know when that's scheduled for.
Don't worry about pulling.
Not overly concerned with it. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, Darren Till, he'll bounce back, man. He'll be fine. But I think he's going to move up to 85. That makes sense to me. I think he'll move up to 85 and they'll match him up with somebody like Uriah Hall or, you know, Brad Tavares or someone like that. Have him fight one of those guys.
I have a feeling he's not going to give up on 170 right after this one. I think he's going to do a couple more.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Not at all?
Nope, not at all.
So you think he's immediately up to 85?
Yeah, I do. He was talking about it before this, that the weight cut sucked. He didn't really...
Oh, I thought he said he had an easy cut.
Well, I mean, easy, quote unquote. I mean, it went fine, but a couple weeks prior, he was talking about how it was shitty and he didn't like it. And,
oh, of course. No one likes it.
You know, we'll see what happens. And he's a big boy, man. He's
only like 6 foot though.
He seems way taller than that.
Right? He seems way bigger than Woodley.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly seems taller than that. But 6 foot, you know, 170 pounds. You know, I guess it's not that big. But he's so long. He just
has a big frame.
He has a big frame. He has big legs. You know, that'll weigh you down.
I saw someone say that they would like to see Israel Adesanya and Till fight. Or no, someone said that Israel Adesanya and Darren Till will one day be considered a super fight.
I mean, I guess, but so, Darren Till just didn't win the title, so that's not anytime soon. And I think Israel Adesanya destroys Darren Till.
Oh, 1,000%.
I don't even think that's a fair fight.
No, not at all. I think. It'd be fun, though.
Yeah, I'm on board with Israel Adesanya and anybody. I like him, man. Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah, he's too good.
Yeah, he is too good.
I remember when I first saw him fighting, I was like, oh, fuck, because he's like super skinny. I made sure that he wasn't in my weight class. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, thank God. Because, you know, when you see people in a cage sometimes, you can't tell.
No, totally.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck.
Totally. It's funny.
I don't want to fight him.
What always surprises me is when you run into a guy and they're like 5'9", 5'10", but they're just like super thick and they're like I fight at 205 and you're like, what? You fight at 205?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I fight at 205. Like, oh, okay, weird. But, you know, it happens for some dudes. It's really bizarre.
Everyone's body's different.
Everybody's different. But
it is strange.
Yeah, so that... I think this fight with Darren Till kind of cements Woodley as one of the greater welterweights. You know, I mean, I heard someone try to make the argument that he's like the greatest of all time, which is absurd. Like you're not GSP yet. Chill the fuck out, dude.
Yeah.
Like you're getting there, man. Keep winning.
I don't know why GSP doesn't want to fight at 170 again.
I don't know.
That's weird to me. And then he's like, he just did a practice cut to 155.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Like, how do you go 185, right? You're thick as fuck, all muscular, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to drop down to 55. Anyone else feel like that's kind of fucking strange?
Oh, I think it's weird as hell, but I don't understand GSP. I don't pretend like I even remotely understand, and quite honestly, I don't give a shit.
I feel like he's figured out some new doping shit that USADA isn't fucking privy to.
Maybe.
Because he has the money to do it.
But he's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
What do you mean he's irrelevant?
I mean,
He's going to fight the winner of Conor and Khabib.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't buy
1,000%. He just cut to 155 this past weekend.
Until it's signed, I'm not buying it. I don't buy that. I mean, I just don't see him doing it. I just don't. I think that fight is too risky for him.
Why else would he make 155?
I don't fucking know. Who cares?
Who else is he going to fight?
I don't care what he's doing. The last fight he had was against a super old guy who fortunately knocked out Luke Rockhold. But other than that, like his last few fights were not like incredible. Like, you know, like you beat Michael Bisping. You came back and you fought Michael Bisping because you knew you could beat Michael Bisping. And then you were like immediately like, okay, I'm done. See ya. Fuck him, man. That's irrelevant to me. I don't care. Like that. That's not doing anything to me. Like for me at all. Like I don't need that.
Okay. You're telling me if they're like, let's say fucking Connor wins. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they go Connor versus GSP. You're not going to be fucking into that fight?
Oh, I'm not saying I won't watch it, but I'm not saying that that's relevant at all. Like,
I feel like it
those,
kind of is.
Those guys, it's not to me. I don't care. GSP's had one fight in how many years? Like, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Until he's back, until he wants to fight and defend or, like, continue to fight, I don't care.
Did he retire again, technically, or no?
Well, he said, oh, I'm going to vacate the title and do my own thing, so...
Well, I'm just wondering if he's still in the USADA testing pool.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Well, I guess, I mean, it doesn't matter because you don't give a fuck.
So. No, yeah, I don't care. I mean, like here's the thing. He hadn't fought in 4 fucking years, man. So he's fought one time in 4 years. I don't care. But I don't care.
Still the best. Yeah, I don't even like GSP. I was very anti ever saying GSP is the best, but after she beat Bisping, I have to say he's the greatest of all time.
I agree. He's for sure the best welterweight of all time. I don't know that he's the best fighter ever, but he's definitely got the welterweight, you know, all-time greatest distinction for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that he's currently relevant to me. He's not. He walked away. Not only that, he walked away on a fight that a lot of people thought that he lost, like that when he left after fighting Robbie Lawler. So okay, you lucked out, because if you lose that fight, it's a whole different story for GSP. But he comes back and he fights fucking Michael Bisping, a fighter he feels pretty confident that he can beat. I feel like if Luke Rockhold had not lost to Michael Bisping, GSP is not coming back and going, hey, I would like to fight Luke Rockhold. I don't think he's doing that. Or,
no,
hey,
no,
I'd
for
like
sure.
to fight Chris Weidman. No, you don't want to fight Chris Weidman.
No, that's exactly why
so
I'm saying
you,
he's
GSP.
Going to. I think that's why I think 100% he's going to fight 55. Because I think in his mind, he thinks that Connor is going to catch Khabib, which I'm starting to lean towards that way. Like the more, mm-hmm. more I break this fucking fight down in my head. And I think he goes, that's what's going to be my legacy, right? 3 division champ, right? Or 3, yeah.
Only person to hold a title in 3 different divisions and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. And I mean, the only reason why I brought him up is just the simple fact that he did a fucking cut to 55 this weekend, which is
I mean,
fucking strange to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe
that's
what it is.
I just don't understand why anyone else is going, this motherfucker, I refuse to believe that he has been 100% clean his whole fucking career. There's no goddamn way. If you look at the way his body has transformed, he is not that much of a fucking of a physical freak or that much better than every other human in the world. Like, I don't know.
Hard for me to say. I mean, and especially in a sport where most people have, you know.
You know, here's another thing, too, I hear. This is some insider shit, okay, Mr. Oh, you give me a shitty story. Well, I'm going to break this down for you, motherfucker. All right? So I hear some shit that... So Hector Lombard is the poster boy for fucking like steroids and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
that fool will take anything.
He had... I guess he had it...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yes. Thank you. Allegedly, homeboy has some connections with the people who actually make it. Like make the whatever...
Sure, the chemists who are making whatever...
Exactly.
Steroid.
So the thing is, I'm just throwing Hector Lombard out there. A lot of people on the inside believe that possibly Tyron, maybe GSP, they might have some connections with some people who are, you know, changing just a couple molecules in some shit, and USADA can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, but
and
again,
that's coming from reliable sources.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I believe that. I believe
who
that
have trained
people,
with these people.
For sure. I believe that. I'm not saying that it's not true. The problem is it's speculative, right?
Of
like
course.
Like they're not giving you anything firm to go off of other than like, oh, look at his body or look what he did after he did this or look what he did after he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think all of it's really hard to prove. However, when you talk to fighters, a lot of fighters will say, yeah, I think most guys are using something.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's pretty common. Like, you know, you talk to any fighters at the highest levels and they kind of all agree. Yeah. A lot of people are doping. Like a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that's the way it is. You know, if you think people in the NFL aren't totally jacked, you're out of your mind.
I think almost every athlete who is, you know, in the major leagues or whatever, who has the money mm-hmm. behind it, I think they are. Cause it comes down to a point of, you know, it's age and stuff, and you know, in order to compete.
Well, and if everyone else is doing it, you know what I mean? Like,
of course, if everyone thinks the other one's doing it, yeah.
You fall into that boat. But for GSP, maybe he does something. I mean, I don't really care.
I mean, I don't care either, honestly.
Again, I don't care. Would I like to see GSP fight Conor McGregor if Conor McGregor beats Nurmi? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I would watch, but I don't think that's, like, for me, GSP doesn't, like, I don't go, oh boy, that's really important for the 155 pound division.
Oh,
I think it's really cool for the history of the sport.
Yeah.
But like, I just, GSP just, he rubs me the wrong way, man. I just can't,
yeah.
I can't get into what that guy's selling at all.
No, me either. But man, he sure somehow, which is weird to me too, that he's able to sell so many pay-per-views. Like, his fights aren't exciting. They're not, like, I don't like watching GSP fight.
Well, his fight against Bisping was the most exciting fight he's had in a long time.
Yeah. Outside of that one, it's kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, what? Okay. Whoa, we got another takedown. Ah, he's controlling him well. Awesome.
Yeah. Especially the worst part is when there are fights where it seems like he could finish and he doesn't.
He doesn't.
That's so frustrating. Yeah.
He doesn't want to risk.
Then again, like, are there, like, in any fight, is there, like, if you're a fighter and you're out there and you're as dominant as GSP and you think you can finish a fight, don't you think he would? Like, you want to believe that, right? Like,
it just,
like,
depends on the risk.
Maybe he is trying to finish the fight? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's not really going for, like, the problem is he's not going for, like, submissions, really, unless he's able to keep the position. Like, that's his thing. He's very, I'm going to keep the position. If the submission presents itself, sure, I'll go for it. But for the most part, I'm gonna stay here and ride it out.
Yeah, he's a lame ass. Whatever.
Fuck Canada.
There was one other fight on this card I wanted to give like a little extra shout out to, and that was the Tatiana Suarez and Carla Esparza fight. Not because it was a good fight for Carla Esparza, but because it was completely insane for Tatiana Suarez. She just destroyed Carla, like just put her through the ringer. It was brutal. It was
Carla's on a little skid, man.
Well, I mean, Carla's good, but when you think about what Tatiana Suarez is doing, like, she just went through Alexa Grasso, Carla Esparza, Amanda Cooper. Like she's not fucking around. Like she's
Amanda Cooper.
I'm just saying, like in terms of, like, she's winning these fights. Like, mm-hmm. she destroyed Amanda Cooper. I mean, it was a dart stroke. Then she fought Vivian Pereira, and mm-hmm. she beat her. And then she subbed Alexa Grasso. Then she just, like, walks right through Carla Esparza. Like, she's gonna make waves, man. And she's gonna get a title shot soon. They'll give her one or two more fights, and they'll have her fight for a title. I mean, she was basically like gonna go to the Olympics, but then she got cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that kind of derailed that for her. I mean, she was a world champion wrestler. Mm-hmm. They mentioned it during the podcast that she was like the ASICS high school wrestler of the year two times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, man, she's no joke. And then she got thyroid cancer, and that kind of derailed her whole whole Olympic dreams. But yeah, man, she's no joke, and she's gonna get another couple of fights here pretty quick, and it's gonna be something, man. Like she's the real deal. So I want to see what happens for her. But, you know, she's 7-0. She's not fucking around.
Who do you think they match her up with next?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know where everyone is situated in the division currently.
Maybe her and Claudia.
I would watch that all day. Yeah. That'd be great.
I feel like that'd be a good one to make, and then have Andrade and Rose fight. Put those on the same card.
I'd be into that.
Yeah,
I could watch that. But Tatiana Suarez, watch out, guys. She's gonna be something, because she was really putting it on Carla Esparza like you haven't seen a lot of people do. It was kind of exciting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot left to break down. That okay. sort of covers it. So, not the. Actually, we're already like an hour 10 or so.
Oh really?
Yeah, that went fast.
Yeah, I thought it was all. I thought we were at an hour and a half for some reason.
No. All right. Well.
Cool.
Yeah. So thanks everybody for listening. If you don't already, please be sure to jump on iTunes, give us a 5-star written review, subscribe, rate and review. It's very important and helpful for us. Give us a follow on Twitter. Jake is at Uber Smitty. I'm at David Golden MMA. Hit us up. You know, talk some shit. Ask us some questions. Whatever you want.
Yep, and share the podcast.
Share the podcast.
Share.
Yeah, tell your friends. Tell your friends that it's funny. And don't tell Jake that he needs to change weight classes. Or do. Yeah. Just tell him all the time that he needs to fight at a different weight class.
That would be funny. That would be a gimmick.
The same guy.
Hey, what about 135? What do you think of that? Yeah.
if you can give Jake a good reason why he needs to cut to 135, we'll talk about it on the podcast for sure.
Yeah, let me know what weight class you think I can fight at.
Yeah, yeah, we can move you back to heavyweight.
I mean, I'd be down for it, honestly. Fuck it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in.